I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
There'll be a lot of nudity on the show today, so look out for that. I mean, you can't look out for it. We won't put it on our socials. There'll be people talking about nudity.
Yeah.
Because they've had nude incidents or topless incidents.
Yeah. And not in graphic, descriptive ways, but more emotive.
Yes. And what does it mean? And, yeah.
How did they feel?
Yeah. And who's done the wrong thing?
And who hasn't?
Who's done the right thing?
Yeah. There's been, and look, to be fair, it's been very much in the press. This is not like a niche kind of market that we're trying to fill here. It's been big.
Yeah, absolutely. It's relevant.
Yeah.
I had my birthday on the weekend as well. I'm going to hopefully get one of my children on who's going to... They wrote something on my birthday card. I'm not sure whether they were being serious or not. I hope they were being serious.
Was it heartfelt?
I don't know. And I want to ask them the question. I'm going to confront them. And we are hoping your partner will come on, Aaron, because you lied to him on the weekend. And we're going to shatter his illusions about you.
I'm actually...
We're shattering his illusions.
I don't know if the foundation's solid enough for us to be shattering illusions right now, to be honest.
No, we're shattering them.
No, because it wasn't my fault. Anyone else would have done exactly the same thing in my position. You try cooking fish. You wouldn't know how to cook salmon.
Anyone knows how to cook salmon.
How?
You put it in the oven and just let it cook. It's easy. You let him down.
Hughie, Ed and Aaron.
We love all our callers, don't we?
I'm just curious as to why he's so incredible.
Well, I'll tell you when we get to Jamie from Campbelltown, but first can we talk to Joe from...
I'd love to. Edmundston Park. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Now, you're incredible too, Joe. I don't want to say that you're not incredible.
Oh, thanks.
So what did you do on the weekend, Joe?
I went for a good hike to the Southern Highlands and then went to some antique shops.
I love the Southern Highlands. They're so beautiful. I always, whenever I drive through, I always think I really should stop and look at those antique shops. Are they worth it?
So bougie, but they're awesome.
did you drag someone along with you, Joe, or not?
I did. I dragged my husband and my 18-month-old along.
God. Now, yes. Joe, I'm for the hike. And it was a time where I was anti-bushwalking because who cares? Let's go home and watch sport on TV.
Yeah,
you know?
See, I'm in that field still. How do you get past that?
No, I think I am past it.
Yeah.
Joe enjoys nature. You know, did your husband enjoy nature
mostly.
As well or not? Or you, who's
my,
more?
My husband, yeah. He definitely enjoys nature, but he doesn't like getting dragged along on hikes at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning after a big one.
Yeah, but then to top it off with an antique shop visit.
That's a whole new level of cruelty.
It was a bit of fun.
I love that so much.
So he's not an antique shopper?
No, he's definitely not.
God, you've...
No. So he was hungover, was he, Joe?
He was. He had an end of year function for work.
Brilliant.
I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. And then it was, okay. Yeah, he definitely had a few.
That's brilliant.
That is...
Now, that's what you should do.
What has he done wrong over the last year to
without
make...
you
oh, that is
drink... Then they will suffer the consequences.
Pick up a baby, so it would work.
Oh, yeah. That's work.
Okay. Anyway, you've got your $100 fuel voucher. So.
Thank you, Joe. And now here is the much lauded Jamie from Campbelltown.
I'll tell you why Jamie's lauded. Jamie, you've got a fuel voucher, and that's for a car. But how old are you, Jamie?
I'm 16.
See?
What?
Why would we give a fuel voucher to a 16-year-old child?
Because I go to work every day with Rob, who I go half in petrol with, so give it to him.
He's giving the money to a man called Rob.
Yeah, but you just missed the important part. You think he's, because he's beautifully generous, he has to pay half the fuel, so that's going to be his half for however many weeks.
No.
Is that right, Rob? I mean, Jamie?
Yeah.
Told you.
No, Jamie, I want this to be an altruistic thing, and I want you to gift that to Rob, all right, so that you continue to pay your half.
No, Jamie, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Can you gift half to Rob?
Give half to their fuel voucher?
Yeah, half
the fuel
voucher.
No, just give him the whole and use it as your credit for however long.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much will be the same thing because it will go to him anyway, my half.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I still think it's a great call. Oh,
I love it. Thank you, Jamie. It's a touching story. 14 past 6 all morning, $100
at
7-Eleven.
It's a good story.
And mobile fuel vouchers. What about the Harry Styles tickets before the end of the show as well? But in a moment, we're going to Qatar to talk about that World Cup.
And I'm going to make an apology because I said something the other day which, in hindsight, was a disgrace.
Yeah, I direct message it to every Australian player over there.
Hughie, Ed and Aaron.
But we're about to speak to Adam Peacock from codesports.com.au. He's live in Doha. But before we do that, I'm going to make an apology on behalf of the team. We said something the other day after Australia got beaten by France and...
Don't say we.
No, you were involved in this. Ed did stay silent, but you know what? The standard you walk past is the standard you accept. This is what we said during that France match or at the end of it.
All hope is gone from a nation.
It's over.
It's not over. Ed, is
They've
it over?
Extinguished the flame.
Ed, is it over?
Come home. Come home, guys.
Oh, sweet.
Come home.
God.
Yeah.
I'm going to
save the accommodation money. Let's just... The backroom staff at the Socceroos should be now clearing at their hotel.
Oh. Okay, you cannot say we. That was you entirely.
On behalf of the team. But is he still going to talk to us, this bloke, this bloody
Adam
legend?
Peacock from codesports.com.au, live from Qatar.
Now
I'm happy to talk to you because I don't look like the idiot here. So
there we go.
There
we go.
But Adam, we weren't on our own, mate. No one. Did you in your heart of hearts think that this was gonna happen, Adam?
Sorry to say, but yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately. I had belief in the guys. It was a tight match. Like Tunisia are not France. There's no comparison between the two. So we got a team that we could play our football against, our style, and we not only outwilled them, we outthought them as well. So 1-0, I don't think was reflective on the difference between the two sides. I think 2 or 3 was the difference, and it made it a little bit nervous at the end, but still bloody enjoyable. And for the first time in 12 years, we won a World Cup match.
Can I ask, Adam, can you give us the scenario for how we go through to the round of 16? What needs to happen now in our group?
Yeah, if we win, we're through. Full stop. Stop. Yep. Nothing else to worry about. If we draw, we've got to hope that Tunisia don't beat France. Now, France are going to rest some of their big players, like Kylian Mbappe, one of the best players in the world. So there is a little bit of hope there for Tunisia, but not much really, because the French squad depth is insane. There's some players there that are playing at Champions League level week in, week out. And they're sitting on the bench for France. So, yeah, look, a few things that have to go wrong if we drew with the Danes for us to miss out. But, we've just got to go out. And I think they're just going to go out with the mentality of winning the game and then letting everything else work itself out.
Now, Graham Arnold was great during the game. He spoke to the players just after they got the goal and said, forget about it. And that seemed to work. And afterwards he said, get off social media. And then I hope they did that because and they won't see all the messages that Ed Cavalli sent them. Adam, how many messages you send, Ed? How many did you send to players after the game?
Only 3 so far.
But they're positive, right, Ed? Like, they're encouraging, were they? Or what were they?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine. I love them
like
dearly, and they know that.
Messaging.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
Have you spoken to some of the players, Adam?
Yeah. They're over the moon with the support from back home. It's filtered through. After the game, we showed Jackson Irvine the scenes at Fed Square when all the flares went off and there was just mayhem, pandemonium, all those things. And he was just he just looked at it and went, Jesus Christ. And then he went on to say, if I wasn't here playing in this shirt, I'd probably be one of them doing what they're doing. So he really appreciates it. And, it's just a really good atmosphere and amongst a good bunch of mates. And it is filtering in. It absolutely is filtering in the support from back there in Australia.
That was I said it was an exceptional goal. Ed, that header that got us the goal and got us the win. Ed, how do you describe that goal in the history of soccer watching that you've done?
Adam,
huge.
You and I have watched a lot of soccer in our lives. That is one of the best headers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's very hard to do because he wasn't looking at where the ball, he wanted the ball to go. So his awareness of where that far post was outstanding to judge the pace and the ball, what he had to do. Looks easy, looks automatic, almost maybe for some it looks like a bit of a fluke, but absolutely not. The only thing that I've got a regret about is that Ed's not doing Santo, Sam and Ed because they're putting up all these clips of the last time the Socceroos won a game in 2010 at the last World Cup when he was doing that TV show. I would have loved to have seen some kind of reenactment to take the piss out of that goal. But anyway.
Well, he should be, and they should be.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
So school fate, primary school fate was Friday night. Massive undertaking by the school. We're talking public school here, so, you know, there's not all this money coming in from, you know,
donors.
Yeah. So I received a phone call, I think it was Thursday, and does this make me a diva? You know, so the phone call was from one of the organisers of the school fetes, and they said, we've had one of the bands pull out from the stage, so can you do 15 minutes of comedy?
Oh.
Oh, my God. That is literally like, say they had a comedian on and the comedian pulled out at a public school fete and they ring up Mick Jagger. Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
And say, hey, we've just had a local comedian pull out. Could you just do 20 minutes of a song?
Well, I said, where is the stage? I think it's a fair question.
Yes.
And they said, we've set it up next to the sausage sizzle so there'll be people around.
So there'll be people around.
Perfect.
I'm like, but guys, it's different. They said, what? I said, you can't, look, I don't know if you know much about comedy, but I need the attention of the audience. And they said, oh, no, people will be keen. I said, yeah, but there's a sausage sizzle there. So
you're just a big, for those at home who don't or in the car, he's a big, if you're listening to him, you cannot eat, you can't swallow, you can't breathe whilst he performs, and he will call you out from the stage.
So I said,
I had to physically hold back waiting in Queenstown. I had to form a one-man human barrier while people looked longingly, Erin, at their burgers over my shoulder.
So I said,
remember the hunger pain.
I said, look, I'm sorry that a band pulled out, but a band is different to stand-up comedy. I said, and I cannot perform next to the sausage sizzle.
A band is background noise. Yeah. Comedy is,
And I actually said to them, I said, here's an offer. If you can get a mic and take it into a classroom, you know, I will do a gig inside a classroom then people can come in. And she said, nah, we can't do that.
Oh, nah.
Sorry, what?
She said, we can't do that.
Wow. God, that must have been spoiled for choice.
And I said, well, I can't do it then. So I didn't do it. So, but you know what? She did come up to me in her defense. She came up to me afterwards, you know, and said, look, I did ask around, and apparently what I asked you to do isn't the done thing. So I said, thank you. So anyway, I was a hero on the night of the fete, though, because I turned up to the sausage sizzle looking for a veggie sausage.
Yeah.
And they said, we don't have any bread. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any bread? They had like thousands of sausages sizzling, and they said, the bread hasn't turned up. And I'm like, well, we need bread. And I said, we don't have any. So I went to the supermarket and bought five loaves of bread. And I came back like, Jesus.
Yeah, man.
I actually said, I'll get wholemeal. I said, no, it's a fate. You get white bread.
I agree entirely.
So I said, I'll get white bread. So I came back and with the five loaves of bread and, you know, and they said, do you want some money? I said, no, that is my donation to this fate.
Beautiful. Did they ask you to, what's that? That's deserving. But what do they say, though? I feel like you've failed a little bit here because remember Jesus when one of them, he said, give a boy a fish.
And he can learn to fish.
No, listen. Yep. Give a boy a fish and he'll eat for a day. So that's like them the bread. Give them loaves of bread, they'll eat for a day. Teach them how to fish or how to knead dough and make bread, they'll eat for a lifetime.
So I should have enrolled them in a baking course, you know?
Yes. You should have.
You know what? I didn't do that. But you know what I did get? I got free veggie sausages for the whole fete. So.
And how quickly did they run out the door?
Yeah, they said, you're the only one eating them. Do you want 20? That's what they said. Susie, Ed and Erin. People who work for free at school fetes because they love their community. And that was me on the weekend. So I bought five loaves of bread for the fete because I didn't have any bread for the sausage sizzle. And, you know, I didn't even demand free veggie sausages, but they did give me them. And I did cut the line a couple of times and people were going, oh, you're a celebrity, you can go straight to the front of the line. I said, no, I bought bread for this schmozzle. You know, yeah, I get a free veggie sausage. And no, I'm not lining up. Did you go to Woolies and buy five loaves of bread? No, you didn't. I did. I'm having my...
And how old was that child?
That was an adult who should have known better that I wouldn't cut in line unless I'd deserved it.
Along the line.
The lines are so long.
Crazy.
Here's Julie from Ingleburn. Julie, do you help out at fetes?
Well, I am part of a committee that organises, it's a Fate Festa every year. It's been going for over 55 years.
Yeah, and you do it for free, Julie?
Oh, my God, yes. We volunteer, and I don't think people realise the amount that goes into it. It's a year in planning. It's a massive day, a massive night. We just had one in September. We have it every September. When I got home after many, many hours, I looked at my step counter and I'd done 38,000 steps that day.
Jeez.
And it's exhausting.
Well, what's it actually for? Is it to raise money for the school? Like, what's the purpose? Or just bring the community together? Like, why do you do it? Why do you do...
So the bit of the story behind ours is it's part of our parish, which was predominantly a Maltese community in Greystanes, which is now we're very multicultural. And we celebrate Our Lady every year because Malta was the most bombed country in the world and there was a lot of prayers to Our Lady. So it's a celebration and a thanks to her.
So where does the cash go, Julie?
To the maintenance of the church, to the maintenance of...
Yeah.
Because as much as people think churches are rich, we're not.
not all of them. Some of them are, but some of them obviously aren't.
But, and ours being the church at the age that it is, it's over 50 years old, our church, and she needs a lot of maintenance and, you know, so it's a day to bring community together. For me, it's about community and people coming together of all cultures, all nationalities, all religions.
Oh, that's lovely. So, well done to you.
So, Julie, if a band had pulled out of a stage you had set up next to a sausage sizzle, would you expect someone like me to turn up and do stand-up comedy on that stage?
Hell yes. Everyone is to volunteer.
I understand that I'm an artist, Julie, and that I need some... Would you organise a tent for me so I could at least do it inside a tent?
I'd give you some food.
See, they're just not willing to go the extra mile to get you there.
What about a mount, Julie? What about a sermon on a mount?
We expect everyone to volunteer and to donate. You know what? It gets you closer to heaven. Just think of it that
way. That's a great point. Would you allow him to perform his brand of stand-up in your church?
Not in the church, on the ground, as long as there's no foul language.
Oh, come on.
Listen, I'm the first one to swear, and I get in trouble for my language, but, you know, time and a place,
Thank you, Julie.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
We're joined by a Sydney personal trainer. Her name is Lily Cook. Welcome to the show, Lily.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Lily, you've hit the headlines over the last couple of days because of an incident that occurred at a beach in Vaucluse, is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Erin, what?
Yeah, I noticed this actually, and I was even thinking of talking about it on my Sky News show last night because it's really interesting the debate that this starts. And essentially, you were sunbaking topless on what is a public beach. Mm. Someone took a photo of you without your knowledge and has circulated it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which would be awful. Like it would feel so invasive. What was your original reaction when you found out? So someone sent you a screenshot of what had been circulated.
I was mortified, but I was also shocked. I kind of didn't really register what had gone on, and I was sort of just like, oh, what creeps, that kind of thing. And then I sent it to my sister and my mum and they all heard about it and they were like, this is appalling. And I kind of just expected it, which is bizarre from people like that. I kind of was just presuming like that was what boys did, and then I've realised how big this issue is and how many women since going public have these experiences, and it's just something that regardless of being in a public place for me, it's not even the taking of the photo, it's the distributing it that's an issue. Yeah.
And so we don't name them, but these were people that they were friends of friends or something, is that right?
Yeah, so I knew them all. Some of them I knew closer than the others, but I had them all on Instagram, like they were all friends of friends. Yeah.
And so have you confronted them about this, or have they apologized?
I have had one apology from one of the men involved, of which I've confronted, but the other men involved refused to say that they had anything to do with it.
Right. Did you go to the police?
I did go to the police, yeah.
And what did the police say? Because the legal part of this, I mean, it's... doesn't matter because it really hurts and you feel betrayed and all those other kind of things. But legally, do you have any rights at all?
Well, the issue is, you know, had they got a warrant to go through their phones, I think it would be a little bit different. But because the person that took the photo just said they took it of a public place, and the person that just distributed it, even though he admitted to it, then refused to make a statement, we were kind of stuck and we just had nothing to do with it.
Is it illegal to take a photo? So legally, they could take the photo.
Legally, you can take a photo in a public place. but the intent there and the fact that he distributed it.
Yeah, see, it's needs they need to relook at this in terms of because now there's so many channels to distribute photos so much that you know, porn, revenge porn, all these kind of laws now really need to be updated, and whether or not this is included is a debate and another issue.
But that's interesting. So it's the passing on of the photo which is the illegal act.
That is definitely an illegal act. Like distributing it, but because it's a public place, and the issue was like because it was the side of my face, they were like, we can't confirm that's you, even though I had evidence of me and my sister sitting there at the beach. Like, they just kind of get stuck and they can't do anything.
Yeah. But these are like morally, and like if you just know that it's not the right thing to do, and especially, I mean, this especially if you know the person and you're sending that photo to people you know she knows, so it's sent to a I imagine a group of blokes and you vaguely know a lot of them.
I know some blokes it was sent to, you know, I don't know how many or who, like who admitted to sending it or not, but yeah, that's the issue as well. And that's what's hard to come to terms with is it's like people that you know, it's not just someone random on the beach that you don't care about. Yeah. Like it affects your social life. It affects you.
Yeah, you go to the next party and you're thinking, have you guys all seen this photo of me?
Exactly.
And yeah, look, and the only reason I focus on the legal element is because it's really important to understand what's legal, what's illegal, and if the laws need changing, which they might need to be updated. But yeah, the emotional toll on this and just from a moral perspective, it's appalling behaviour.
But you've got people, and I talked to you outside, you've got online, you're copping a fair amount of flack over your stance. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I'm getting a lot of positive comments, a lot of women reaching out, a lot of women sharing their experience and saying that they feel heard now. But it's a lot of people that feel offended by the fact that I was topless or, you know, that like, you know, I shouldn't, if I'm going to a public place, I shouldn't expect anything else. And it's quite bizarre.
So you're getting older. You said you're getting older women online saying to you, you had your top off. Mm. You got what you deserve.
Maybe put a top on.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But see, this happens to women in bikinis.
Yeah.
It's happened to me before.
Yeah.
Where people have taken photos of me, however it be. It happened, and you know, we're in the public eye. Mm. Like if I go to a pub for dinner and I can see a group of guys taking a photo, they obviously want to send it to their friends. And I think it really annoys me. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I say, well, come over and ask for a photo if you want one. But it's a secret taking of photos. Even if you've got a bikini top on, people can still take photos and objectify you and send it to their mates. I don't think it's even – and that still is uncomfortable for women.
Yeah, whether it's like explicit or not, you shouldn't be taking photos of people and distributing it.
What if you – and this is like what if you're lying on the beach topless and you see – a group of blokes walk past looking at you. Do you get annoyed about that?
I get annoyed. And I mean, every time as a woman that you walk down the street and you get wolf whistled or, you know, like you wear a nice top and someone looks at you and that kind of thing, that's just what happens. But I think you expect in this day and age that we can, you know, start to respect women more and more and allow people to dress and be how they want to be, you know?
Yeah. No, the photo thing is, it's completely out of bounds. I mean, I cannot believe that people are having a go at you for getting annoyed at this. I personally can't believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you go to a beach, you take off your top, you want to sunbake topless, there's an expectation that you should have and you need to have that you will be seen at that beach by some people. If anyone, you know, that's you're going to a public place. Yeah. But there should never be an expectation or an acceptance that someone's going to take a photo and distribute it to a group of people that you might know or to anyone. That's the line crossed. If you were there going, oh my God, I'm topless sunbathing and people were looking at me at the beach and getting angry, I'd probably say, okay, you probably need to reassess, you know, that's a reason, you know, you're there in a public place. But this is beyond that. This is crossing a line.
Do you have a partner, Lily?
No, I don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. So what have your parents said about it?
Oh, they're pretty mortified by it. I mean,
What do they say? You shouldn't be sunbaking topless or not? What do they
No, my mum sunbaked topless my whole childhood. I used to get embarrassed about my mum doing it. You know, and my mum says it's anti-evolutionary because she was like, we didn't have phones and no one could do that. Like, you'd see creeps at the beach, but you'd just be like, I know they can't do anything.
They're there with their sketch pad trying to draw you.
What about their Polaroids?
Literally. I know. But then, like, you watch Bondi Rescue and they get, you know, they get charged on the spot if the guards can see someone taking a photo of them in the act. But it's like no one could see the act. So now they're just, you know, they don't get in trouble.
We need Hoppo back on the job, don't we?
He's good with this stuff. You've started a really important conversation and it's a great debate. So well done to you for speaking out.
Thank you.
Will you go back and sunbathe topless? What's your
Absolutely.
Go from
Absolutely. I went the next day.
There you go. Can't stop it.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
Lily Cook, personal trainer. She's just relaxing on a beach in Vaucluse, some little beach that she's out of the way. She's not like, right, you know, in a real public beach like Bondi.
Yeah. I mean, so it's still a public beach, but yeah, it's more of the kind of, there's a lot of little kind of harbour type beaches,
I think
up there and around. I haven't actually been to any. I'll have to go have a look. But yeah, she was in a public place, but someone sneakily took a photo of her and distributed it to a big group of people.
And she found out about it and she's really angry. And has she got the right to be really angry? We're looking for opinions here. What do you think, Danielle?
I think she has every right to be angry. I'd be absolutely putrid about it.
You'd be putrid, yep. So you think that, have you ever sunbaked topless yourself?
No, I do not have the body confidence to do something like that, but all the power to her if she, yeah, that she does.
Yeah.
It's not something that I'm personally interested in, but respect people for, you know, who they are and what it is that they're doing. Distributing something publicly is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, people hate having photos of their kids taken and posted online.
Yeah.
You know, what makes her own body any different?
Yeah, okay. I think you're right. I think it's that the sneaky distributing side of it that is, you know, that is uncomfortable and awful.
If my son ever did that, I'd be so angry.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a really good, for parents listening, it's actually a really good conversation starter for kids who are in their kind of, you know, mid to late teens, even early teens, because they start young, into having a discussion on what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
Gina from Bankstown, has she got every right to be angry, Gina?
Yeah, look, she's out in public, so really it comes down to free-for-all.
Ooh, so you're saying, but you've seen, because she's in public, she's got a top off, she doesn't have that much right to be that angry that a photo was taken.
No, she has the right to be angry, but she's out in public, like a celebrity. They're going to be taken, some creep with no morals is going to come along and do it. That's what it comes down to. Not her.
Yep.
She might be young, beautiful. She should be proud of what she has and who she is and what she's doing. But it's the creep that did it that should put his head down in shame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hear, Gina.
Yeah, I think she makes it absolutely. And what you're saying is her feelings are valid. She has every right to be upset, but you're making the point she's also on a public beach. So you kind of, you know, there's going to be people there and you can't control what they do, but it's morally just corrupt.
Can we talk to a butcher, Ed?
Yes.
Of course we can. John from Tarmoor, does she have the right to be annoyed?
Morally, yes, definitely. And how would they feel if it was their girlfriends?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the parents of them, like, geez.
Yeah.
We're all immorals.
Again.
I've got young girls and it's just disgusting.
Do you have these issues already? John, your girls are 14. I mean, I know that revenge porn is what they call it, but, you know, photos of girls as young as, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, it's such a big issue in school. Yeah, a lot of parents talked about it.
It is. It's starting to become, and I think we've had one little drama at school already.
Yeah. Do you talk to them about it? Do you have really good open communication with your teenagers?
Yes, definitely do.
That's great. Yeah.
It's a crazy space, though, with these
terrifying
with Snapchat and blah blah blah, and you know all the carry on. The thing that you know that things aren't. It's just
I think you're sending something that will disappear. It doesn't, and it's you can just be so compromised by anything online these days. Yeah,
never send anything you don't want to be on the front of the newspaper.
That is my mentality.
Right,
but also you have the right to send things in a private scenario if you're dating someone. And not expect it to be made public as well. You know, it's a complete cluster beep, this online space now, because that's how kids communicate now.
I get it. I live it.
I know.
Absolutely.
You know, I live it.
You don't live it as much as I live it. You will live it more. Don't Eliza?
Well, I live it.
Has Eliza
sorry,
got a Snapchat kids. Or not?
No.
She's
Instagram,
Snapchatting?
Facebook, TikTok. Not Snapchat yet.
Hey, 100% of callers, first time it's ever happened. So she has absolutely every right to be angry and a ton of calls. Thank you so much. Was Husey disrespected in a birthday card from his child?
No, I need to know whether my child was serious. It was. I think it was the nicest things anyone's ever written in a card about me or to me. But was she joking? I need to ask my 9-year-old daughter whether she was joking or not.
Bad feeling how this is going to end.
Husey, Ed and Erin.
So it was my birthday on Saturday. We went indoor skydiving, I fly.
iFly, yeah, it's amazing. There's one at Penrith, which is so fun.
Tell you what, it's a real good thing to do, so I recommend it. I was made a fuss of by my family. Saturday morning, I woke up to a birthday card from my children. I just want to read out the messages from my three kids, and we're going to get my youngest child on because I just need to know whether she was serious with a message. I really liked her message. And I'd like her to confirm that she was serious with it.
Yeah.
So my son's message, my 13-year-old son said, "Happy birthday, Dad. Thanks for being such a good dad over my entire life. I really appreciate you taking me to rep and always encouraging me. I love you. Happy birthday from Raph."
Oh, that's beautiful. That's nice. I love that it's over my entire life, not like from the ages of 8 till 11 when you were particularly impressive. That's sweet.
Yeah, my 11-year-old Sadie's gone with this. "Dear Dad, happy birthday. Wow, 52. That's old. Thank you for taking me to and scoring my basketball games. Thanks for trying to remember what dance classes me and Tess do. I love you. Sincerely, Sadie is the best." So she's... Aww.
Bit of self-love, obviously,
Yep, so this message, though, I need to know whether this is serious or not. We're going to speak to my 9-year-old after I read this out. "Dear Dad, thank you for always making me laugh. You remind me that every moment is a miracle and nothing matters. I love you. Love, Tess."
Oh.
I really appreciate that message.
Yeah.
But is she being serious?
Ooh.
Or not?
I mean, she didn't do ha ha or a winky face at the end, which, I mean, goes into your camp that maybe it is serious.
Now, Tess, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Tess.
No.
Now, I just want you to say, hand on heart, that you are serious with this message. When you say that I remind you that every moment is a miracle and nothing matters, are you serious?
Yes, I was serious.
Yes. So I am happy that I've instilled that in my youngest daughter.
In what way, Tess? I'd love to explore this a little more. Is it because he tells you that all the time, or is it just the way he lives his life?
Yeah, well, that's always telling me to think about how, like, nothing matters and we're just like a rock floating in the world.
Through space, yep.
Does he say you'll be dust one day?
No, he doesn't say that.
Oh, he
that's
says that.
Incredibly dark.
Yeah, that's what I think. He says that all the time. We're all going to die. We'll be dust. Thanks.
But sometimes I do think about that, how, like, nothing matters and I'm just a small thing in the universe.
Yeah, and it liberates you, Tess, from worry. Is that true?
Yeah.
See?
I've
actually done something.
Yeah, but I also – there's also an element of – raising kids where I think you also want to get across, and it's hard because it's in complete contrast to this, but you also want to say, Tess, you got to figure out what you care about, what you're passionate about, what matters. You can be prime minister of this country one day if you want to be. It all matters. You got to strive for this, blah, 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 as well as just we're all going to die, so why should I care or try?
Tess, is Aaron confused you, or how do you feel now?
I feel controversial.
It's a real hard balance to strike.
Tess sees the funny in life, and I do appreciate that. She's someone who can have fun with her own ego.
Is he really funny, Tess? Because that's a bit I thought you were going to hone in on. I thought that was the bit of Tess's message that you would have loved.
You're funny most of the time.
Most of the time, which brilliant. Is brilliant. You'll take it. I'll take that all the time.
Well done, Tess. That was lovely.
Well done, Tess. Now, 131060, lines are open. We are all dust, but you can be dust if it's got $10,000.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
Massive news involving Prince Harry has just dropped, and it's come from an American reality TV star who, her name is Catherine Omenay. She's a star of The Real Housewives of DC, and she's just told The Sun newspaper. What has she told them, Aaron?
She's told them about her brief but passionate romance with Prince Harry.
What was the year?
So the year was 2006. She was 34, a mother of two. He was 21.
And they met where?
They met at a nightclub. A club, a night joint.
And it went from there really quickly, it escalated.
London's Chelsea, so it was a trendy art bar.
And what did she say about Harry's expertise in the romance stakes?
Well, she said something to the effect of that when he kissed her, it was the most passionate kiss she'd ever had.
And at the age of 34.
She'd had a few, you would assume, by that stage of life. You've generally had a few partners, a few kissy wissies.
Yeah. And what about her first comment to him? You know, he was wearing an Australian style of Cobra, apparently.
And what did she say to him?
What are you doing looking like a tit in that?
A tit?
No, a twat, maybe.
Twat? Why is it? Mm-hmm. They've like blurred it out like it's.
That's with T.
Yeah, but is twat like an offensive swear word?
In America, it could be, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, they blur out the. You can't give the bird on TV. They blur that out, the double finger.
You can't say polish a turd on some radio stations either. They dump that.
In Britain, they do, don't they? They did that to you, didn't they?
Did that to me in Australia.
But you were talking to Britain, weren't you?
No, I was talking to Australia.
I did in Australia. All right. Well, anyway. Fact is, he was 21, she was 34.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
Their relationship lasted how long?
I think the night.
No, it was more than that, I think. Was it? Was it just one night?
Well, I don't think she's really.
Did they had a bath together, didn't they?
Yeah, that was on the same night.
Was it?
He made her a bacon sandwich.
But he also, he says that.
Oh, she saw him at a bar later where they just kind of ran into each other. But the romance was dealt a blow when news of the relationship broke.
But she says that he had a habit of sucking on lollipops. I mean, would he have been sucking on lollipop in one night? Surely that was.
No, I mean, you can fit a lot into a night.
She can't say he had a habit if it was only one night. It could have been a one night lollipop.
We're being told a few weeks.
I don't know if I believe any of it, to be honest.
She called him baby. I believe every single word. And she said she had to come out with it because she believes it's not in the book.
Oh, for God's sake.
So he hasn't told the whole story in his book. You know what? He's 21. She's 34.
You think he should be including this in his book?
Yes. It's salacious. I agree. I want to. If you want people to sell the book, and apparently the book's already free on Amazon, it's free with purchase, like steak knives.
All it needs to do is more than Meghan Markle's book. That's well, that. How many did that sell? How many copies?
At the moment, it's 16, but 15 of those were her.
You know what? I want to hear from women who went out with younger men.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a few of them. There's Helen Bonham Carter. She's currently going out with a very handsome younger man. She's 56 and he's an art historian who's 35.
Can I? That's how old is he?
35.
She's 56.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. That's absolutely. 21 years, isn't it?
I think so. You do the math.
I want to reveal something about one of my first romantic experiences, actually.
Uh-oh.
With an older lady.
How much older?
Old enough to be a mother. Well, I was a very young man.
Yeah, but
well, all right. Once you get in the country as well,
period, you can be a mother.
Family Christmas. 13 10 60. Lines are open. Are you a woman who has been with a younger man, or currently you're with a younger man? We'll reward you. Oh yeah, $100 7-Eleven and mobile fuel voucher. Get your story off to the best start with mobile quality fuel at 7-Eleven. $100 worth, ladies. Have you been with, or are you with, a younger man? And perhaps, gentlemen, have you been with, or are you currently with, an older woman?
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Star of The Real Housewives of DC. She's just spoken out about her relationship with Prince Harry. At the time, he was 21, she was 34. He used to suck on lollipops. And
she called him baby.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of people who want to talk about their relationships with younger men, or maybe they're a younger man, they've had a relationship with an older lady. Does remind me of a time I had back when I was a very young man.
How old?
Look, I think I might have been just 18, and I met a mother at a nightclub, and I didn't know she was a mother at the time, but went back to her house, and there was like a lot of paraphernalia which really signified that she was a mother.
What, like bottles?
And then children in the house.
There was a lot of paraphernalia that signaled she was a mother. Her six children was a really big hint. Cryptic, but a clue.
I don't know. It all made me too nervous, and I couldn't. I was.
Oh, you didn't.
I couldn't operate, and I said, "I'm going to the bathroom." And I.
She said, "You'll have to move the potty."
No, but I just went out. I jumped over the back fence and ran off. Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm assuming she was a single mum. Do you know how much hurt she would have had in her life already up to that stage?
I do know, because a while later, one of her friends came up to me and said, "You broke my friend's heart when you just disappeared that night." I said, "I'm sorry, but I was just feeling really nervous. I didn't know how to say goodbye. So I jumped over the back fence and ran across a paddock."
So you didn't learn any lessons or get any tips?
No, I didn't. I was too nervous. But you know what? Blake might be different. Is he? What happened to Blake?
Oh, I imagine he is. Blake from Cremorne. How old were you and how old was the lady?
Hey, guys, I was 20 and she was 38.
That's yeah. Stuff. Wow. Where did you meet her, Blake?
Well, that's the good part. I met her at my best mate's house. She was my best mate's mum's friend.
It's a hot story, there's no doubt.
I mean, is it a hot story, Blake?
I mean, it's decently sexy, yeah.
It is.
Decently sexy.
I can guarantee, Blake, there's a lot of women listening to this right now going, oh, my God.
Blake, can I ask, because this is fascinating.
Blake sounds hot.
Blake does sound hot. Yeah. So you were over at your friend's house. His mum had a friend over. How did it go from you guys meeting or passing each other in the kitchen as they made you a sandwich to, like, dating?
Literally, so I was having a conversation with my best mate away from them, and she overheard a part of the conversation. And from memory, we were just talking about this new shoe or something, and they didn't have my size. And I was like, damn, they don't have the 12s. I need size 12.
Big 12. Needs a big 12, Blake.
And she overheard it. I've never said a word to this woman in my life. And she looks at me dead in the eye and goes, wow, you must be popular with the women.
Oh, these big feet.
God.
Not even that big, really.
I laughed and, like, we had a little bit of a chit-chat, and then I didn't think much of it. 3 days go by, and my best mate's mum texts me and says, hey, I won't say her name, hey, XX is interested, can I pass on your number?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I mean, if you like, I'm sure, I don't mind. And then we started chatting, and then it went from there.
So you dated for, like, 3 months?
Yeah, just under 3 months.
Was she a divorcee, or what was her story? Do you know? Do you remember?
I think she'd been through, I don't know, I don't think she'd been married, but she'd definitely been through a few relationships. Right. But yeah, I was 20 at the time, and obviously I was just very excited by the thought of dating a MILF.
Was she a mother or not?
Yeah, she was a mother.
She was a mother. Now, she still is, I imagine. Did you learn a thing or two, Blake?
Yeah, I would say I learned a thing or four.
Right. I reckon he learned how to please a lady. What he learned.
Old are you now, Blake?
I'm 22.
Oh, my God. This is fresh. It just happened.
Have you come closer to your own age, Blake, in recent times?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a one-time experience. It was great, but I think longevity-wise, not much future.
But you don't know that, Blake. Are you single now, Blake, or not? Are you in a relationship?
I am single, yeah.
Can we put a photo of you on our Instagram, Blake?
Of course, yeah.
All right. We're going to do
Blake's
that.
Blake's going to turn down that opportunity. Yeah,
thumbs up.
Okay, Blake, that's a great story. I want more of these.
Well, we might come back.
Let's come back. They're coming in hot. Now, are you a lady who enjoys a younger man, or are you a gentleman, much like Blake, who has had the older the bear, the sweeter the juice treatment?
Susie, Ed and Aaron. All right, so we're talking younger men, older women. What's the biggest age gap you've had, Aaron?
Biggest age gap
way, like younger, not older. We know you've gone a lot older.
A lot older.
You've gone 30
younger,
years older.
So when I first moved to Sydney,
how much?
Look, maybe like nearly a decade.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. We'll give that a clap. Some younger man learnt the ways of the world from a wise journalist. You're already on the news by then, were you?
Yeah.
So he was at his local sporting club going, yep. You know what I mean? He was in the change rooms.
Oh, for God's sake, we literally had a date. You always make everything so sordid.
He's under 20s rugby union.
He's not under 20s.
He was under 20. Yes.
No, he wasn't.
The wink means he was.
No, he was. I didn't wink. I've got a sty.
It's okay. As we've found out, everyone's into it. You know?
About Amanda from Campbelltown. Amanda, younger men, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that was definitive.
What's great about a younger man, Amanda?
The stamina.
Yeah, that's it. It's the desire.
Bushwalks.
And it's like.
Bushwalks. What's the age gap, Amanda? Like, give us an example.
I'm almost 41 and he's 27.
Right. Oh, wow.
And you can go up to the younger man with your bowl and say, I'd like some more, please. And they will.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'd like some more, please.
It's like Oliver Twist, you know, please, sir, may I have some more?
Yes.
Oh, sorry,
exactly.
Is this not literal? Yeah. Oh, you're figuratively.
No, it actually is literal, I think. I'd like some more. where an older man will go, sorry, you're going to have to wait another week.
That's right.
Where a younger man will go, yep, sure. Right
so,
now.
Amanda, this isn't just a fling, though, right? Are you married to this guy?
I am.
That's it. So how did you meet?
We worked together. So we'd worked together for years, and then my marriage fell apart. And it was meant to be just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And years later, we're married.
I love that.
You worked together when he was – When did you first meet him? Was he 18 or 19 or how old was he?
He was 19.
He was 19. Fair enough. So,
and you were happily married and happily subjective, but at that stage you were,
Sure. Yeah. It was nothing. It was just, you know, a new co-worker. Great. We got along well. Yeah. And fast forward a few years and picked him up and took him home.
Yeah.
In my prayer.
Yeah, I know that. But it's Yeah, yes. Fair enough too.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah, good on you, Amanda. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, all right. Great.
Now, thank you, Amanda.
Tell you what, there's a warning sign there for some older blokes going, they'll be right now ordering shipments of Viagra trying to keep their wives happy. Some young bloke circling around at work.
The male boy's going, goodness. Oh, sweet Jesus, stop, let me be.
Happens a lot. Jackie from Coogee. Jackie, hey. Younger
Hi,
man.
Good morning, guys. You Hi, guys Jackie. Are cracking me up this morning. We're it's good. So funny.
Yeah, we love it.
So how, yeah, absolutely. What age gap, Jackie?
Okay, so when we met, he was 20 and I was 32, but I think it's how we met that sort of is a bit.
Yeah, go.
Bit of a, yeah.
How'd
Tell
you
us.
Meet?
Tell
Come
us.
On.
Okay, so I was just at a girlfriend's place, you know, like the girls hanging out and just, being girls, and we got a knock on the door, and my girlfriend's like, go open it. I'm like, okay. There were the Mormons, you know, that come
Yes. They
this is a hot story. Yeah, it's a hot
and,
story. Yep.
My girlfriend's into the dinosaur theory and evolution.
Yeah, evolution, yep. They're not into that.
So
yep.
She's like having a full on, you know, discussion. Argument. She welcomes them yep. in. She's like, come in, let's have a chat, and, you know, it's all happening. And then the 20-year-old, he's like, you know, why is your girlfriend so quiet? Because I'm like, this is too much. This is a bit too much for me. But they got my girlfriend's phone number, and then through my girlfriend, the Mormon missionary, he called me.
Goodness.
And I was like, oh my God, this is not right. This doesn't, you know, this is a bit much. So I'm trying to flog him off. I'm like, nah, mate.
Flog him off.
Good.
Were you That's single at the time, Jackie? Just context?
Yeah, I was.
Yep, okay,
yeah.
Yep.
Was. Yeah, and so he ended up he ended up leaving his
missionary. Yeah.
No.
Did he try to convert you? Was he initially trying to convert you or not, do you reckon?
He was.
Yeah,
he
right.
was.
But you converted
him. So you
him.
Were worth him leaving the religion and life he had dedicated?
No, I was not. He took off to Queensland and then I think like 6 months later came knocking on my door. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, what do I do now? But like I just felt like, yeah, who cares, you know?
And then what happened? Tell me there's a happy ending, not...
So, 5 years later we got married. So he was 25 then and 15 years we were married. And then I got a bit bored, you know. Like,
looking for more knocks on the door.
I thought, God, I've got to move on.
Yeah,
can I just say I love that because I was expecting you to say, oh, then he got a bit whatever. I love that you got bored and absolutely. Saw Yolanda Moira next.
Yeah, and he left him alone. No Jesus. No, Jackie.
He's real out of luck with the J's.
Thank you
Is it
all.
Jesus with Mormons?
Yes, it's always
oh,
Jesus.
Oh, yes. It's really very much so. Thank you all.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
We have been talking Harry, Prince Harry, and the fact that he went out with a woman 13 years his senior when he was 21. We had a caller called Blake ring us to say that when he was 20, one of his best friend's mum's friends hooked up with him, wanted to hook up with
him. Yeah, she actually asked his best friend's mum to pass on her number to him.
Now, I said, we need a photo of you, Blake, because you're single still and he's 22. He said, oh, he sent a photo. Aaron? That's Blake. Just quick, what is
it? Yeah.
Blake's a 10 out of 10. Go to our Instagram. Go to our Instagram.
He's available.
Is he on? He's on the Instagram. Is he up? Is he thumbs up? Is he on the Instagram? Yeah, yep. Go to our Instagram. Yep.
Oh, wow.
All right.
I saw that on your phone for a sec, just glanced and thought it was you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Wow. Now, world-renowned photographer Spencer Tunick was desperately trying to get Erin Molan to do a solo nude photo shoot with him and then for her to be a part of his Bondi Beach artistic installation. Not sure if she was there, but we do know that freelance journalist and model Tamira Francis was. Good morning, Tamira.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
We're great. Now, Tamira, you were part of 2,500 people that were nude at Bondi Beach. What time was it Saturday morning?
Oh, too bloody early, guys. I think I rolled in a bit late because I anticipated, but the time was
3:30. I mean, so we do that every day, let's be honest.
We're not that early and we have clothes on. So.
That's a good point.
So you, the sun came up on you and 2,500 naked people.
I think that was just over 2,500, to be fair, but yep. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, 2,500 completely stark as people, which was very interesting.
How was that? Like on it? Like where do you go in clothes? And where do you put your clothes once you take them off? Like how? Where do you walk? How do you cover your bits? Do you like how? Yeah, it's. I'm trying to comprehend.
This was literally me. It was a logistical nightmare, but the guys and Spencer's team handled it so well. Basically, you rock up, you're herded into a crowd of 2,500 people. There's drunk stragglers walking down the street joining in, which
really?
Is amazing. They'll have a story to tell forever.
Yeah, right. So they didn't even know it was happening. They're just on the way home from a nightclub and there's all these new people. Yeah, right, yeah.
Only in Bondi. But yeah, basically once we had a feel of the ocean, because it's typically been a bit hectic at the moment down in Bondi, we derobed when we got the call and we walked to the first setup. I think we did like 3 or 4 in the end. Yeah, it was very interesting. I was probably one of the last to derobe.
People look? Do you make eyes with each other? Is there an element of people like sexualizing it in a way? Like I'm so... intrigued.
To be fair, like my the way I went into it was no eye contact. I'm just here to do it for my reason.
The eyes up, basically.
I'm not looking.
Yeah.
I don't even.
It's like men at the urinal. Just look up. Don't look down. Yeah. So
it's very true. It's like with the budgie smugglers. I love an appropriate length pair of board shorts. So call me frigid. But no eye contact. Yeah, you just
were you on your own or did you have friends do it with you or?
So I had one friend, my friend who wrote me into it on our Wednesday when this madness started, and the reason why I didn't snooze my alarm when it went off at 3 a.m. because I couldn't bear to stand the thought of leaving her to do it by herself. But it was a very interesting experience. It wasn't sexualized at all, I feel like. Yeah. The only thing that made me feel a little uncomfortable being like a former journalist was like the news crews gathering
to film it. Yeah, that is weird. So was it about 50-50 men and women or not, do you reckon?
It's hard to say, honestly. I have a really bad read on numbers and like everything like that. But it was a good diverse like skew of people. There was a lot of young people, a lot of older people.
It wasn't just models, like supermodel or fit-looking guys. Like, it was a real body diversity too.
Yeah, body diversity. Surprisingly enough, I was a bit hesitant because the Bondi bubble is so small.
Yes.
And I was like, damn, I'm going to know people from the gym and yada, yada, yada. Didn't see a single soul I knew. It was so refreshing because people flew in from overseas, interstate for this. So it was a lot bigger than I thought, but... there was no reason for me not to do it because I live like a 5-minute walk.
Last question, and I'm a girl asking you this, so I don't think it will sound creepy because this is what I think of. Did you do maintenance for this?
Oh, 100%. I have not kept my laser up because, summer, you can't do it.
I know, it's torture, yeah.
Night before, had a quick check in the morning and we were all good. But yeah, no, that's definitely something I was very, very, very on top of.
So when are the photos available to be viewed now? Have you seen yourself in photos or?
Oh, honestly, it's so awkward. My mum was like, where are you? And I was like, I actually have no idea, Mum. Please don't look.
So you're not sure if they're up yet?
No, because they are, like obviously a lot of different news places had them, but I don't think Spencer's published them. So what happens if you participated, you'll get like sent a print of the photo.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That he chooses as his favorite. But we did a smaller group of the survivors and people that had had melanoma cut out at the end, which was cool.
Amazing.
And we got, me and my friend got roped into that.
Because it was for skin cancer. It was a raising awareness of that. Yeah, which is great. Yeah.
Yeah, for National Skin Cancer Awareness Week, which was last week, which is amazing. There's a lot of stuff that's gone on in Bondi, which we love. But, yeah, no, I'm not sure which print he'll choose. I'm very interested. There was a lot of different perspectives, a lot of cool Bondi photographers taking photos, which I actually am grateful for now. At the time, I was wondering why people were taking photos. A few creepy DMs asking if I was going to be there that I ignored the night before.
Thank you, Tamara.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Loved hearing your perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara Francis, freelance journalist and model for the Spencer Tunick Bondi Experiment. Now, we do need to jump out. J-Lo, Ed Sheeran and Pink. That's your money in the music today. Three songs in a row, any order, back to back, though. That's when you call 131060 for $20,000 cash. Could happen any minute on the new Today FM.
Yeah, Zoe is back. And Zoe, biggest age gap with you and a younger man, how many years?
18.
18 years, yeah.
I was just going to say, if you want to check out the photos, they're on Instagram.
At you and the
No, me and the 18-year-old. No. The nude photos, I was just listening about Bondi Beach, and they're really cool, and they're from a distance. You can go on Instagram to @morningbondi. Susie, Ed and Erin.